This is Jesse Laborde, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we have a special guest today, Christian Butzek. He is a friend of mine from Vancouver. We were chatting the other night and about life and love and happiness. And Christian is a real estate agent here in Vancouver, and he's recently gotten into an amazing new relationship. And that's kind of how we started talking about what we would talk about on the show today. So welcome to the show, Christian.
Thanks for having me, Marie.
Thanks for being with me. So yeah, what we were talking about how you're wanting to do kind of a speaking event. You're a part of Toastmasters.
That's right.
And you met this amazing doctor who's been married for 25, 30 years.
That's right.
And you're wanting to invite him on and a few other people.
Yeah, that's sort of in the preliminary stages right now. So that's one gentleman I'm thinking about, and there's a couple other Toastmasters who are obviously very proficient in public speaking, and it's something that they really feed off of, right? And what I really want to do with the event, and this is, again, this is down the road in about 6 to 8 weeks, is invite speakers to come and share the truth, I don't want to say secrets, but the truth for them, what have made for great, successful, loving, long relationships. And so that's certainly something I want to do pretty soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did you, you're into personal growth, obviously. Yeah. I love your purple shirt, by the way. That's awesome.
Thank you.
we need a webcam in here so people can see how sharply dressed you are today.
Okay.
But what got you interested in personal growth?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think the best way to describe it, I think I felt like I hit a rut last summer, last July, August. I had entered and exited a relationship in the early part of 2014. And I was also in a job that I felt I wasn't growing anymore. And I wanted to get, I just felt like I wasn't growing. I wasn't getting the best out of myself. And I wouldn't say there was a one particular moment where it just clicked, but I think it was a process of some soul searching. Several weeks of soul searching, and I'm thinking, it's time to take some challenges here, really take some risks with my life. And so that's when I started picking up different books and even just going on YouTube and watching some of the classics, classic speakers. One guy who comes right to mind is Jim Rohn. Mm. Now he goes back to the 70s and 80s. He really predates our time. But he was just a very famous speaker in self-development and the mentor to Mark Hughes, the guy who went on to found Herbalife, mentor also to Anthony Robbins, and I think several other notable individuals. But watching his stuff, it kind of just started to click with me that I was off my game and I was in a rut, and I needed to get out of that rut and get things together. And a lot of that has to do with taking risks, taking challenges. You know, even though you have that fear, I think most people do have that. Even people who succeed in life, whether we're talking about the top of the top, the Oprahs, they all have fear. And for too many of us, we let that hold us back, but we can't. We just got to move ahead.
Mm. So what were you doing before? How long have you been in real estate?
Oh, I've just moved into it. I moved into it. It's been a process of about the last 6 months, moving into it, studying, learning, taking the courses, the classes, reading the books, and officially got licensed last month.
High five, dude.
Thank you.
Nicely done. So what were you doing before that, if you even want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, not at all. Not a problem. I spent quite some time traveling, learning. I was over in Japan for 6 years.
Wow.
Where I taught in high school for a couple of years. And then for the most of that time, I was in Tokyo, where I was working for a company that delivered language services. And what that really means, what that looked like was we worked essentially with lawyers and tried to help them get them into law school in the United States. So in a nutshell, that's what we did over there.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely an adventure.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. Certainly every day is different for sure when you're over in a country where, you can't even read the signs, right?
Wow. You didn't, in all that time there, you didn't learn Japanese?
Well, you can learn Japanese, but they actually have three alphabets. They have, well, they have what they call kanji, and that's sort of the fancy writing that they'd learn. They wouldn't learn it in 1 year. They'd actually go to school and learn it over 8 to 10 years.
Wow.
Right. And then they have two phonetic alphabets. And so I was able to learn the phonetic alphabets, of course, but the alphabet derived from Chinese writing called kanji takes a long time to learn, and a lot longer than 6 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Good to know. This is one of the reasons I didn't live in Japan. I've been there, though. Tokyo.
Oh, yeah?
Is.
What'd you think?
Good fun. It was June. It was really humid.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed the monsoon rainstorms. It was like a shower. It was so warm.
Oh,
just
okay.
Walking down the street, and yeah, it was pretty cool. But it wasn't as busy as I expected, other than the train.
Okay.
The train is pretty intense.
They pack you in there?
Yeah, getting on the subway or whatever they call those, the trains there. But yeah, I loved Tokyo and Osaka, Kyoto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
What was the one noteworthy thing you took away from that, from being in Japan?
Oh, wow. Putting me on the spot. Well, when I went to Osaka the first time, I went to Japan. I went to Osaka and Kyoto. And Kyoto is just so beautiful. And there's like the Zen gardens and the Emperor's Palace and all that. But I think the biggest thing that I took from that was the plane ride home. It was, the way that the planet was like turned towards the sun or whatever. The sunrise was this epic rainbow across the sky that just sort of developed over the course of a few hours.
Okay.
So I was expecting to have the same experience when I went to Tokyo, but I guess it was the season. And it was just a normal sunrise, but it was just epic. I was listening to Enya in my my CD player at the time. This was before iPods, I think. And it was just like so peaceful. I mean, it just, something that beautiful, like, touches you, you know? So that was for me. What about for you?
In terms of?
What was the biggest experience or lesson that you got out of Japan?
That's a good question. I think in terms of, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of my daily life when working as part of the language services team was client service. In Japan, it goes beyond anything we can imagine here. So let me give you an example. Here we have the expression that the customer is always right. In Japan, they have that expression translates into something completely different. And what it is customer is God.
Wow.
Right. And of course you see that in their behavior, in their actions, in their attitude. I mean, you walk into a store, they'll greet you and they'll yell out a greeting in Japanese, but certainly going that extra mile for their customers or clients, whatever it is, if it's a restaurant or any industry, that really impressed me. That's sort of what sticks with me.
Cool.
Sticks with me the most. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, nice. Yeah, that would be nice if we had that here. Although I don't know if I'd want to be on the giving end of the customer spot, but it'd be nice to be on the receiving end of that.
That's right.
All right. Well, I noticed, I'm so impressed with how prepared you seem to be. You've got your notebook and everything. So I don't know what you were planning on bringing up today, but I just wanted to like have a chat with you on the air.
That's,
it seemed
great.
Like it would be a fun thing to do, and I was like, why not, right?
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing Toastmasters?
I started Toastmasters actually just when I got to Vancouver. I came to Vancouver in January of 2013. So I've just been here for about 2 years and 3-4 months. And it's a great way to meet people. It's also a great way to practice your public speaking skills, develop leadership skills. And I had done it in Japan, and I actually met my best friend that way in Japan, a really great guy. And so I thought, you know, look, if I can get all of these things out of it, you know, put in the time and effort and maybe develop one great relationship, learn how to improve my public speaking skills, learn other skills. And not only that, but you see some individuals who are really, really good speakers. Lawyers, doctors, whatever walks of life they come from. And they're really, really polished speakers. And so if you can see that, and, you know, you take one point here, you learn one thing from somebody else and use that in your own speaking, you know, I think it makes you a much better communicator. So that was the idea. The other aspect of it too is there's a lot of positive energy. People who take the time and the effort to go there after work, you know, from 6 to 8 o'clock at night, they have that extra drive and energy, and it's really great. You really kind of you feel that energy. You walk out of there feeling like $1 million.
That's like doing this show every Monday. I get to talk to someone interesting and uplifting, right. And I always leave because Monday mornings it's like, oh, I don't want to get up.
Right.
But then after, I'm just like, oh, I just have to go, and I'll feel better.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
And I almost always do. Yeah.
And you've interviewed some impressive people on the show. I mean, you had an opportunity to speak with Wayne Dyer. Several months back, was it?
It was a few years ago, actually, now. But when you heard it, it might have been a replay or something. Yeah, because it was a few years ago when he did his event here in Vancouver, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I've interviewed Eckhart Tolle, Alana Miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Who really impressed you the most?
Oh, well, it's been like 7 years. So there's so many people. It's even hard to, off the top of my head. I really enjoyed Dr. Stan Tatkin, that's a fairly recent interview. He does, what's it called? Wired for Love and Your Brain on Love. And he's a clinical psychologist, and the squeaky chair.
I won't move.
That's okay. We need a non-squeaky chair. Yeah, thanks to everyone who donated to the fund drive. Hopefully we'll get some. We're moving to the new Student Union building, like, next month.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks, so hopefully we'll have some less. My chair's not too bad, so... Anyway, he was really, really gracious and just teaches such important things. But I mean, everyone pretty much who has been on the show has impacted me in some way. That's a good question. Thanks.
I
told you I'm better at asking questions than answering them.
Ask away.
I have very few answers. So yeah. Okay. Well, tell us, actually, you know what? Let's go to a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Have you received your Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit Plebiscite voting package? If you didn't receive your voting package and you would like one mailed to you, simply call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683. That's 1-800-661-8683. Or go online at elections.bc.ca/OVR to register or update your voter information and ask for a voting package to be mailed to you. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are talking with Christian Butsek. Is that right?
Better the first time.
Butsek?
You got
Butsek.
It.
Butsek. I have it all tried to spell out phonetically. But anyway, so Christian is a local Vancouver real estate agent. If people want to buy a house or sell a house or something, how can they get in touch with you?
AskAgentChristian@gmail.com.
AskAgentChristian. Cool.
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
I thought you have to term real estate agent and agent, and I like that word better. And I sort of thought of James Bond.
Yeah.
And I pictured myself as a James Bond hunting for homes. So I thought, Ask Agent Christian. That sounds like fun. We'll do that.
Cool. AskAgentChristian@gmail.com. So yeah, Christian is here. We just decided we're going to have a chit chat for fun on the radio. And this is CITR, by the way, in case I forgot to mention that. You might also be listening online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, powerradio.com, on the Co-Creator Network, or you might be watching or listening to this on my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/spiritualshow. So wherever you're listening from, thanks for being with us. And so, Christian, we were talking about this amazing new relationship that you're in. And it's new, so you're a little bit... Is she listening right now?
I don't think so. I think she's engaged at the moment.
Okay. So you can send her the podcast later if you approve of everything that comes up. So you had mentioned that, you know, we all have our lists of things that we're looking for in a partner and all that. And you kind of turned that around a bit. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that many of us, we ask ourselves certain questions, and often, you know, you might walk into a Starbucks and you know you might overhear a conversation and two ladies chatting away, and you know they'll often say things like, "This is what I want in a relationship. This is what I want my partner to be. You know, I want him to be 6'4", run 3 marathons a year, and so on and so on." And they say, well, I'm expecting this. I have these types of expectations. And I think all of us, we sometimes fall victim to that line of thinking. And I certainly did for most of my life. And it really wasn't until last summer where I, you know, as I mentioned, I went through that sort of the period of soul searching and asking myself some serious deep questions. And I started to change the questions that I asked myself. I said, instead of what I can get from this relationship, what I can give to this relationship, what can I contribute? How can I make myself a better person? How can I attract the type of person I want to have in my life? And I really sort of focused on those questions, would write them out and just ask myself how I could do this. And then sort of, you know, read the books, go to the classes, and even start, you know, hanging around, choosing very carefully who I associated with, because the people you're around, they really do influence you. You really pick up their energy. And so I did all of that. And I found once I had changed the questions that I was asking myself, boom, it just kind of worked. And that's when a lovely lady named Sally walked right straight into my life, just like that. And it honestly did not take that long. It probably took between 2 to 3 months. And one something very interesting about the whole process, Marie, was that I used visualization. And I remember using visualization, I thought, well, you know, what would she be like? What kind of qualities would she have? Well, okay, she'd be kind, caring. She'd have a great smile. We'd laugh together and so on and so forth. And then what I did is I took out a piece of paper and I wrote down, and I covered the from front to back, from top to bottom, I just wrote down all the qualities that I envisioned. And it was really remarkable because not long after I met her, and she, when I go back to look at the list, it's almost like she fits every single one of these qualities. It's really amazing. And I think what happens, that speaks to the power of the subconscious mind. We can really program that subconscious in ways that we don't even understand sometimes. But certainly one way is visualization. Another way is writing down our goals, writing them on paper, asking ourselves really empowering questions and trying to answer those questions. And I think our brain is sort of structured like a heat-seeking missile, right? Mm-hmm. Once we ask ourselves certain types of questions, you know, how can I achieve this? How can I get to this goal? How can I be, improve my skills so that I can get a promotion? Whatever it is, we tend to start to look for those answers both consciously and unconsciously.
Okay, cool. Well, so you mentioned that you read books after you made this decision. Was there something that clicked for you that had you go down this path, or like, was it a book, or you just decided one day, had an epiphany?
Yes. Well, first it would have been a failed relationship in the early part of 2014, certainly. And, I was I was in a long lull. I'll put it in that term. I was in a long lull and I was just unsatisfied with work. And it sort of got to a level where I just thought, God, I just can't take this anymore. I'm sick of this. This has got to change right now. And that's when I remember actually hearing something interesting. I came across a quote by a speaker who said that there was a study done by the Harvard Business Review where they found that your income is generally 2% above or below the 5 or 10 people you socialize with, you hang around with the most. And when I heard that, I went straight to work and I quit. I quit and I started picking up books, reading, and of course that's when the whole process of self-improvement began for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's interesting you talk about how you started to work on what you could offer. I mean, I've been doing that in my own. Obviously, I've been on a personal growth journey for a long time. But I'm actually in a new relationship, too. It's sort of I've talked about it with a few guests because it's been about a month and a half of like on again, off again drama.
Okay.
And so we broke up, then we got back to, well, that's what on again, off again is.
Right. okay.
But so we're back together. We're not officially, like, we're not exclusive, but it's interesting because I noticed, like, even though I feel like I have a lot to offer and I'm aware of like the qualities that I have to offer a partner, a lot of it has been me making sure that I get what I need, which is important in a relationship. Both people need to get their needs met. But it feels like it's been more focused on that. And this guy really triggers me a lot.
In what way?
He's more introverted and he doesn't give me quite as much attention as I'm used to. And I sort of asked for more attention and then he would say that he'd do it. And then it just wasn't consistent. But it's interesting because it feels now like, and this is just in the last little while, so we'll see how long it lasts. It feels like an actual partnership where I'm making an effort to give him what he needs and he's making an effort to give me what I need. But the thing is that I'm really focusing now on taking care of my own emotions. There have been a couple of guests that have been on recently that have been all about taking, you know, responsibility for your own feelings rather than projecting it onto someone else. And it's really making a difference because he doesn't get things perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't get things perfect, but it's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I can feel the discomfort of whatever he's done that's irked me. And not react to it immediately. And if I do start to have negative feelings about it, one of the things I'm working on now is more asking him for help with that rather than being like upset or saying, you're not giving me what I need, this needs to change, or I'm out of here, which has kind of been what my normal reaction would be. So I'm terrified, but it seems like it's working.
What is it that you feel that you need?
Oh, well, there's lots. I mean, I need a partner. If I'm going to be in a relationship, it has to be a partnership. And, you know, I like attention. I like time together. I like checking in and things like that. And that's a bit difficult for him because he's kind of in his own little introverted bubble. Mm-hmm. But at first, I was really taking it personally. Like, if he didn't get in touch with me, my first thought would be either he doesn't like me that much or everything else is a priority but me.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the belief that I'm holding within myself.
Right, right.
And as I'm getting to know him more and seeing how we're kind of progressing as friends or whatever you want to call it, I know he cares about, like, if I start to feel that discomfort of, oh, I'm not important, I just remind myself, actually, I know that I am. That's not true.
Right, of course.
Which really helps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and part of it is when you're in, like, when you're first in the early dating stages, you're both feeling each other out. You're not overly invested, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
can bring up a lot of insecurity. But now I kind of know, at least emotionally, where I stand with him as far as how important I am.
Okay.
And that, so when I have those triggers come up, and they do, mm-hmm. on pretty much a daily basis,
okay.
but I'm able to step back. I'm working on this one skill called check the facts.
Okay. What is it?
So basically, if you have an emotional reaction to something, you
check the facts on it. So you write down what is it that I'm, what is the thought or the belief that I'm having? How likely is that to be true? What are some other possible options? Right. And how likely are those things to be true? And you just sort of break it down. And it, I mean, the, because when I have the belief, oh, I'm not important, I can try to push it out of my mind and say, no, that's not true. But if I don't actually break it down more, it's hard to be like, well, of course that must be true because this is all the evidence I have. So I'm looking at all the evidence that supports me not being important to him rather than accepting that I actually don't know what's happening. There could be many millions of other scenarios that, that are more realistic than what I'm believing in my head. But because I believe it, then I like freak out. I reach out to him and say like, you know, you're being mean to me or whatever. And then I just kind of further perpetuate what I believe is to be true.
Right, right. Yeah, I think the battle often is in between our ears, isn't it? We sometimes ascribe our own meaning to what someone might say or what goes on outside of us. And 95% of the time, it's not as bad as we make it out to be, mm-hmm. right? And it often that, you're right, I think it's because we hold faulty beliefs. We have, you know, it's just there's a faulty belief there that we're not good enough or this person's not giving us the attention that we, you know, because we're not special enough to that person. I don't know that that's always the case. There's a lot. I certainly think that in the past I would have had some issues with having the wrong beliefs or programmed up in my head as well. And one of the things I've found that's helped, if you don't mind me sharing, for me, what really helped was just lots and lots of reading. And you come across lots and lots of information, strategies, techniques that we can use to handle and deal with conflicting emotions or just our emotions in general. And one book that I just finished reading recently was a really, really good book by Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. and called Awaken the Giant. It's got a great title. I mean, he always chooses the right title.
He's Awaken kind of a giant.
Well, he is a giant. He's like 6'8", I think. And he does a lot. There's a lot of focus in his book about how to deal with those triggers, things that trigger us. Sometimes we're not even really aware of it. We can sit down and talk to friends and family and get their you know, have an honest conversation with them and ask them, hey, you know, what do you think I could work on? How do you see me react in certain situations? For the most part, you probably know yourself. And he just has some really unique strategies. I can't go into them all here because there's a bunch, but I mean, one off the top of my head is NAC, or neuroassociative conditioning, where, you know, you take a belief that you have and you write it down. You just associate absolute pain that belief has caused you in the last 5-10 years, cross it out, and then write the exact opposite of it. And just practice that constantly. And so the belief is that you can form new neural pathways in your brain so that you avoid responding to those triggers. And that's just something off the top of my head. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I'm finding when I get, I mean, that's the thing, like you can read and read and read and read. And I think a lot of people, myself included, get into the habit of, I understand that cognitively. And then, okay, I've got that. But really you don't, because you're not practicing it. You're not incorporating it into your daily life. So you're not really building neural pathways. So how That's do you, because right. I mean, you can read, I mean, I'm sure he's got like 50 or 60 different techniques to use. How do you pick what you're going to practice on? Because you can't fix everything at the same time.
No, I don't know. You can't. It's just a process of going over it again and again. The way I went through that book was, whenever he asked me to do an exercise, put the book down, do an exercise, I just did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did it. And sometimes I'd spend 2 hours on it, 3 hours, and pretty much every single one of them. And I found really good about his that book is the level of distinctions. You start to see things in ways I'd never perceived before. For example, one of the things is the language we use to talk to ourselves. You know, we might say that I've got a big problem, but instead of saying a big problem, the word problem is a real turnoff, right? It's almost like it shuts your brain down. It's just something you don't want to confront. And instead of saying problem, saying I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to learn something. Another example is the different types of metaphors that we view life through. And one of the examples, you know, a lot of people might say, you know, life is a struggle. Life, you know, work can be a battle. Instead, maybe it's better to say life's a picnic. Life's a walk in the park. Life's a game, and it's time for us to get off the bench and get in the game. And so there's subtle things, and there's a lot of subtle things like that. And I just started using them for myself, and it almost seems too subtle to make a difference, but I find that it helps for myself. And having those different distinctions, just using different terminology, using different words, looking at things through a different lens, it helps. It's helped me, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way we talk to ourselves really does impact us. I mean, a lot of people will make a mistake and they'll say something like, oh, I'm so stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
You just say, no, I've just learned something. I've just learned something new here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I didn't know before. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because we have these fears. Like I've noticed yesterday, I noticed that I've been doing this, like talking to my inner child kind of stuff and just like working through stuff when I become conscious of my thoughts and my emotions, and I catch them quickly enough, I can sit down with myself and be like, okay, what's really going on here? And just sort of self-soothe and all of that. Because my habit is if I'm triggered, especially if I'm triggered by someone else, then I feel like that person has to fix it. Or I'll call my best friend and vent. And then I'll end up talking to like five different people. And essentially all I'm just doing is ruminating out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And building up this thing in my head to be much bigger than it is. So yesterday I noticed, I was thinking about this relationship and I felt this fear, this like sadness and fear of, you know, I really like this person and it's nice that things are going well, but if and when it ends, it's going to be painful. That's how life works. But then I thought, well, what if it does work out and he's like my right person?
Right.
That was even more scary than the thought of losing it, him.
Now, why would that be scary though?
I don't know. I mean, I did is I sat with those emotions and I just kind of talked to that little Marie inside, like, it's okay. You're going to be, whatever happens, I'm going to be here. I'm going to take care of us is essentially what I was telling myself until I felt better. But I mean, I imagine, I'm just throwing it out there, that the idea of actually, I mean, he doesn't have the external things on my list that I want.
Okay.
He's a good person. He has a good heart. He has a ton of integrity, which are all wonderful qualities that I want in a partner. But you know, he doesn't make a lot of money. I have like financial fears and issues, and then, you know, I picture myself barefoot and pregnant in a trailer park or something. It's like,
oh, come on now.
I'm a bit of a drama queen. So, okay. But you know, so those fears come up, and then there's an age difference too. And so I don't know. I mean, I think that for a lot of people, you have this dream of what you want your life to look like, and you kind of work towards achieving that. But if you've, like, I want to be part of a family. I've never had that.
Sure.
So that's my goal. But then I'm starting to tear up.
It's all right.
But I really don't know what that even feels like. I've never experienced it. I've seen other people who sort of on the surface seem like they have it together.
Right.
But not ever having that experience, even though it looks like a good deal, I'm so used to this struggle or the being alone. Like, I mean, I identify myself as alone in the world. Mm-hmm. So belonging to someone else, while on the one hand it's something that I really want, it's actually really scary. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah,
that's intense.
No, thanks for sharing. I've been there. I've had those feelings, and it's, yeah. I mean, there are times where we really feel alone in the world, and we feel that, there's if you're away from family, that there's no one there to support you. And, you look around and you see other people are in, really great relationships and you're happy. And then, you think, wow, I'd love to have something like that. With respect to what you were saying, Maria, I would say, why not take that chance? Mm-hmm. Take that. And while it might seem scary to get into that deeper relationship with this man, I think by stepping outside our comfort zone, it might feel really uncomfortable at first, but just, go with it. Cause and go with it go into it with the sense that, this will work. I think that's really, really important. I think so many of us, so often we say to ourselves, what if it doesn't work? What if this doesn't work? What if that doesn't happen for us? That's often what ends up happening is it's almost like we self-sabotage ourselves. Because that's what we begin to focus on, if not consciously, unconsciously, we focus on that. Subconsciously, mm-hmm. we focus on that. I think for myself, what was a big difference with Sally and I is that I just have 100% absolute faith that this is perfect, that it's meant to be, it's happening, it's just amazing. And it just seems to get better. So... It's hard to change those feelings and thoughts in a short period of time. But I would say just have absolute faith in yourself that you're a beautiful, wonderful person, that you're special. There's a lot of gifts that you have. You might, see some and you might not recognize others, but that you have and that someone absolutely will love about you, and bring that into the relationship and take the attitude that if that gentleman doesn't take you 100% for who you are, then it's his loss, and mm-hmm. he's missing out on an incredible opportunity to be with someone really, really special.
Thanks. Yeah, I it's interesting because I think we have, as human beings, we kind of have a habit of thinking, if I could get all of this, mm-hmm. everything will be better.
Right.
So we have this image of like, the perfect job, the perfect right. house, the perfect car, the perfect partner. If I could just achieve that, then everything would be better. And here I am working with him, making mistakes, seeing my mistakes. Like I'm noticing,
Wait, you're not making mistakes. You're learning.
I'm learning. Yes.
Okay, you're learning.
But I'm noticing, like the other night, he was so sweet to me. Like my feelings were hurt and he insisted on like, we stayed up till like 5 a.m. talking about it. I didn't even want to. And I noticed like passive aggression like drives me nuts. And I see it in other people, but I'm starting to see the ways that I react passive aggressively to other people, which is totally a valuable insight to have and something that I'm working on now. But because this person is not perfect, I mean, I don't know. There's so many... Nobody is perfect, I know,
right.
but
right.
it's just like that. I think that's another part of where the fear comes from. It's like, could something, I mean, for me, I'm just looking at this as however long it lasts, and I'm trying to be in the moment instead of projecting onto the future. Like I notice myself projecting into the future, and then I think that's part of where some of the fear comes from. So I bring myself back, but it's also scary to be in the moment instead of fantasizing about some perfect future, living through the moment and working through each day. It's kind of new.
It is. Here, let me throw something out at you. It's the Oprah rule for fear. How to deal with fear. Oprah would ask you, if fear were not part of the equation, what would you do?
Well, I'm just like, this is... Yeah, I feel like I'm taking this opportunity to face my fears and not worrying so much about whether this is the right person or if this is going to last 2 weeks or 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just focusing on what's in front of me and trying to be mindful of what comes up, mm-hmm. instead of just projecting it onto him or the future or the past or whatever. Like, I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's the practice, right? Because a lot of us also, we think that we're going to get to this destination of personal growth, of success. And it's the practice. It's the daily getting up and practicing. You don't learn a skill and then some things become automatic, but it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've touched on it. Personal growth is not a destination. It's a process. It's a continual process. I mean, it's like going to the gym and working out. It's like going, on the seawall and going for runs and doing it every day for 3, 4, 5 months, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. That's what develops, a high level of health and fitness and vitality. And it's the same thing with personal growth, is doing it day in, day out, day in, day out. But Marie, I want to go back to something you said, and you may be aware of this, but you mentioned that you were afraid what if this worked out and it went really, we were together for the next 20, 25 years. Now, why would you be afraid of that? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I mean, he's a great guy. Let's say he's a really great guy. I assume he is. And things go swimmingly well. Why wouldn't it be an awesome thing if it went 20, 25 years or more?
Because he doesn't have those list of perfect things that I think is going to fix everything and just go into, like, I realize that if this is the reality is, I mean, this is true with anyone, but it's going to take work in daily practice instead of, I'm going to work my butt off and starve myself for 3 weeks and then I'll have my ideal body. That's not how it works. You just get into the habit and you practice regularly. And I think that the fear is, I don't know, I'm just speculating, but the fear is that the reality is that this relationship is going to take work. It's going to take, I'm going to be triggered. Like, it feels like I've almost been looking for someone who's not going to trigger me, someone who's going to fix everything, mm-hmm. someone I'm going to feel like I'm home, mm-hmm. And the reality is that I don't know if that even exists.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. I think often we do look for the fix outside of ourselves. We hope that mm-hmm. we'll meet someone and that this person is going to sweep us off our feet, or they're going to listen to us on the sofa and they're going to, just make us feel all right, provide all the answers. And I would have to say that I often fell victim to that line of thinking for many years. And it really wasn't until I went through a 6 to 8 month exploration of just asking myself every single possible kind of question of how I can make myself better. How can I improve myself? This is maybe the most empowering question that any of us can ever ask ourselves, is what can we do for others, right? What can we bring to this relationship? What can we contribute? When you're out there and you're giving energy and love and attention, whatever it is, you feel great and you just do more and more and more of it. And you begin to feel better and you grow and you put yourself in new situations and surroundings. And it's like you open new doors for yourself. So that's helped me a lot. I wonder if we had to start to change your thinking just a little bit and say, what can I give to this gentleman? What mm-hmm. what can I offer him? What kind of love does he need? And, how can I give that to him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're sort of working through that. I mean, I try to, when I recognize things that it seems like he needs or he asks for something, then I do my best to provide that. A lot of it is, I think, I asked him yesterday, like, what makes you feel appreciated? And he didn't know the answer. I was like, okay, you have a think on that.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes a lot of us are not aware of what we need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until it becomes glaringly obvious, Right. Like if we're really not getting it, then we might start thinking, okay, I need this. But, so I don't know. We'll just see what happens. It's, Yeah, it's time for a break. Okay. So we've been chatting for quite a while with Christian Butsek. Butsek. Christian Butsek. He is a local real estate agent. What is it? Ask agent.
AskAgentChristian@gmail.com. We haven't got the email. We're working on the website right now. So AskAgentChristian@gmail.com.
Cool. Okay. So we're talking with Christian, and we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Hi, I'm Dan Hamhuis. On the ice, I play defense for the Vancouver Canucks. Off the ice, I've joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network, and I hope you'll join us for our family festival on Sunday, April 12th at Jack Poole Plaza. Enjoy live entertainment, food, and family-friendly activities as we celebrate World Autism Awareness Month. And best of all, it's free. So come out on April 12th and help spread awareness. To learn more, please visit CanucksAutism.ca/support.
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're talking about life, love, happiness, how to have a better life, and just sort of the journey that we've been on. I've known Christian for, I don't know, just a couple of months, hey?
It's been actually about a year.
Has it?
Yeah,
when
I met
did
you.
I meet you first?
God, it was a while ago.
Really?
I guess you don't remember.
Well, no, I know you've been coming to the comedy stuff that I've been doing.
Right.
When else did I see you? I guess I've been doing that for a while.
No, I think I ran into you at a coffee shop at one point. There was a small gathering, and we were talking about how to win friends and influence people.
Oh, that was Terry's group. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay, that was fun.
One of the classics. Anybody listening out there, if you haven't read that, read that. It's a great book. It's the Bible on how to effectively deal, relate, and work with people.
Yeah, and I really like, because there's so many books out there about that concept of, you know, getting what you want, influencing people, but a lot of the tactics are kind of manipulative. Not in every book, but
right,
that does
right.
happen, whether it's dating books or whether it's business. But the How to Win Friends and Influence People, I mean, it kind of seems like if you read it just on the surface, you might think, oh, that is a little manipulative. But the way, what's his name, the author?
Dale Carnegie
frames it. It really is about giving and connecting and actually caring about what's going on for the other person.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a good point. If you just looked at it to use the actual strategies, yes, it would be manipulative. I think there's a presupposition there that Carnegie actually never talks about in his book, and that is that you genuinely love people. You're genuinely really interested in people and in helping them. And if you have that energy, that vibe about you, all of the stuff he talks about in his book, it works. It works, right? Just listening to people, asking them questions, that sort of thing. And I remember there was Stephen Covey who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People a number of years ago. He mentioned that in his foreword of that book as well, is that all of that stuff is great, but if you're not really, if you haven't worked on yourself, if you aren't a loving, you know, if you don't, if you, you've got to first love yourself, be happy and satisfied with who you are, and then be genuinely interested and like people and help them, then the How to Win Friends and Influence People, those strategies, they work. But yeah, you need to have that foundation in place.
It's interesting. Now I do remember you coming to that one. I've seen you so many times. I always see you. I don't do that group anymore.
Right.
So
right.
I apologize.
Well, it's all right. I only went that one time.
The one time. Yeah. I remember. Well, that group was a little bit like it. There was a big, a lot of people showed up for the first one or two, and then it kind of petered off. Mm-hmm. And then Terry is actually he passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but and it was he was the inspiration of that group. So yeah, love him. And but anyway, so but the comedy is fun. And that's how I,
it is.
That's what I recognize you from, is seeing you at the comedy, because you come and it's like you've got your energy going and we can like vibe off each other, which is always fun. And, but I'm just rambling. See, I should go to Toastmasters. So I could be more succinct. But have you watched or listened to anything by Matthew Hussey?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so he's like a dating coach guy, but he also does, because he's just skyrocketed his career in the last few years, went from like just some DJ and he wrote a book and now he's on like all over the place. But anyway, one of the things he talks about is giving energy to people. Like, you know, if you remember their name or you want to ask them a question about themselves, having something interesting to ask them about. And really, he said, if you're feeling low, the best way to boost your energy is to go and to give energy to someone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you feel great when you interact with people. I mean, we're social animals, right? Mm. And I remember reading that 85% of our happiness and fulfillment is based on our relationships, how good our relationships are with others in our lives. Now, I just wanted to add one thing to that, what you were saying, and that is that, and I believe this to be true, that our ability to get along with and love others really depends on the degree to which we love ourselves. And if we have, you know, high self-esteem and confidence, and we really love ourselves, then our ability to, you know, get along with people out there is also much higher as well. And so I think that's a really key point. That's why we always have to work on ourselves first before we can, you know, go out and then, you know, try different strategies or whatnot. But certainly giving energy is, we always want to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed that, because I work from home, so I don't always see a lot of people during the day, but I noticed that when I bring my energy, like if I go to the grocery store and I'm just like, whatever, listening to have with my iPod and like on my phone, it's just like, you know, I go through the checkout, whatever.
Right.
But if I make eye contact with the cashier and I say, so how's your day going?
Yes.
Boom. The entire interaction changes. Yeah. We're friends and they care about what I have to say too. And it's just so much different than just walking through and going about your, like, you just connect.
You do. You know, I got invited to a great New Year's party that way. I struck up a conversation with the cashier. I just asked her, you know, how's your day been? You know, you look like you're having a lot of fun here. And, you get into a small conversation and you never know what door opens up to you. You know, they might say, hey, you know, I'm having a New Year's party with all my friends up in North Vancouver. Why don't you come and join us?
Cool.
And so, I joined a great group of Iranian people for a really homey and down-to-earth New Year's event last year, just by smiling, bringing great energy, just, yeah, like you said, looking people in the eye and you know, being genuinely interested in them. Mm-hmm. It works wonders. It really does. Yeah.
Well, we have just a few minutes left on the show. Chris Arific is not going to be in today, so I'm going to be playing a repeat or something, but so there's no super rush. But what would you like to spend the last few minutes of the show on?
I don't have anything in particular. I mean, we've sort of covered all the points that I had wanted to talk about. Okay, here is one thing. We just, before we went to break, we talked about you used the phrase, I'll be happy when.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where I'm going with this, but I think,
yeah.
You know, again, it's something we all fall into that trap where we say to ourselves, I'll be happy when I get this promotion, when I get that job, when I have this relationship, when the kids go off to college, whatever it is. And again, I think it's, we're never really happy when, we're only really happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you think so? I mean, you know, we hear that, you know, all the self-improvement authors will tell you that. And we, you know, our parents told us that and we know that, but we really kind of have to feel that with every cell of our body that we are happy and we have to choose to be happy right now. You know what I mean? Just like just appreciate and be grateful for the moment that we have, that we're sharing right now.
That's another thing I've been doing in my relationship.
What's that?
Is being appreciating stuff, because I was having a conversation with my friend the other day complaining because
don't do that.
I'm like a superstar complainer, okay? but I was complaining like, oh, I'm putting in all this work. I'm making all these efforts to improve myself for and give him what he needs. And I don't see the same thing coming back from him. But then when I shifted my way of thinking, I actually saw that, no, it's not perfect. And both of us screw up all the time, which is fine. But I was like, actually, compared to where it was a month and a half ago, he has put so much effort in and has had so much growth. And so I started writing it down in a little notebook because I suffer from depression and you know, I would think, what do they call that? You know, when you have thoughts that are just not healthy, disordered thinking, whatever.
Okay.
So it's easy when you get into that negative viewpoint where all you start to see is the negative, right?
That's right.
So I've written these things down and every day I'm like coming up with one or two more things that either I'm noticing or I'm remembering.
Right.
And now, so if I start to think negatively, hopefully I'll be able to remember to like look back at that and say, no, these are actually the things that he's providing and the efforts that he's making, rather than, oh, he's not important. Oh, he's playing video games instead of calling me or whatever, right? And then also because I write it down and then it's in my mind, I can express that to him too and be like, hey, like I really like that you did this, and give him credit, and then that makes everyone happier.
Absolutely. A very powerful thing we can do is to write a gratitude journal every night. And if we can't do it every night, to do it, you know, three or four nights a week. It, you know, even if it's just two paragraphs, and just use phrases and expressions like, I'm thankful for, I'm grateful that I have this person in my life. I really appreciate the moment that we spent last night at, you know, having a latte together and what we talked about. Gratitude is one of the most powerful human emotions. When we're grateful for what we have and who we have in our lives, it feels great. It's like a switch is just flipped in our brains, and all of a sudden these positive chemicals flood our brain. Mm-hmm. Gratitude is definitely a way to instantly feel better.
And also, Dr. Stan Tack, and I'm kind of trying to get this happening in my relationship. We'll see how it goes. But Dr. Stan Takin has a technique in his Wired for Love album where you actually, you amplify the positive things in your life. So if there's something great that just happened to you,
right,
or you had a great thought or whatever, you could like text it to your girlfriend. And then what happens is that you don't just experience that positive energy and the dopamine and the serotonin, but then she gets a piece of that too. And then she can share the great things that are happening to you. So then you're both amplifying each other's positive energy rather than just withholding it for yourself.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds great, Marie. What's the name of the author again?
Dr. Stan Takin. And his program is called Wired for Love. It's like five CDs. Or is it Your Brain on Love? He has a book and a audio program, but he goes through like the different attachment types and how you can create a secure functioning relationship, and then he also gives tips on like how to increase dopamine and like extended eye contact.
Uh-huh.
That's great,
right?
Having new experiences, because novelty boosts your dopamine,
right?
So sharing those, and even just like he gives an example of how, let's say a woman and a man are on vacation together, and the man is like doing his crossword puzzle and she's upset that they're not connecting. But to turn that around, she could actually say to him, I'm so happy that we're sharing this time together. And then that automatically brings him into the experience. Even though they might not be specifically interacting, they can still enjoy that experience. So yeah, things like that. It's a really good program.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll share it with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so fun chatting with you. Chris Sarific's show is not going to be on today, so I'm just going to, play some music after, but it's been so fun chatting with you. Is there anything you want to add? We don't have any rush, so.
Off the top of my head, no, I can't think of anything. I mean, is anything that's sort of flashing through your mind at the moment?
No, I'm taking next Monday off because it's going to be Easter Monday.
It is.
I'm taking that day off. I just decided. So, okay. So I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I hope that you have a wonderful Easter long weekend, a fabulous week. Yeah, that's about it. All right. Well, I am going to wrap up this show now. Thank you so much to Christian Butsek.
You got it.
I have this anxiety about names.
No,
Butsek.
You're fine. That was
Christian Butsek. If you want to get in touch with him because you enjoyed the show or you are looking in the real estate market to sell or buy or
whatever
it is, ask agentchristian@gmail.com is how you can get in touch with him. And you can always check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/spiritualshow. I miss Chris Arifik because he normally yells out namaste when I'm about to say it. So he's not going to do that this week, but I'm going to send you lots and lots of love. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.